Dan Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Hello and welcome to Moms Across America. This is Annie Tompkins with my co-host Annie, and I am so glad to be back. It's been a little while. I have been very, very busy in El Paso County. Moms Across America, do not forget ashbrook.org/constitution. You need to know what your rights are, and the only way you can know that is to know the Constitution. So make sure you go and get your free Constitution again at ashbrook.org/constitution. Okay, so we have an interesting subject we're going to be talking about today. As you all know, moms, there's a lot going on with immigration. We'll say immigration for right now. The question is becoming, why are these diseases starting to creep up again in our school systems? And we have a story here we've been reading about in Chicago. So Annie, I'm going to start with you because we have a very special guest here with us today. Her name is Ivy Lou. She's a friend of mine, but she also sat on one of the school boards here in Colorado where we're from. But Annie, what are your thoughts on this? And then I want to bring Ivy Lou in because I think Ivy has a perspective on this that most of us are not even aware is happening.
Well, it's funny because I've been talking about this on my show for several years already. Prior to even Trump coming into office, where the illegal immigration problems occurred under Obama and other individuals prior to that, in Los Angeles County, California, about 6 or 7 years ago, there were reports of outbreak of leprosy among the sheriffs because they were the most likely to interact with illegal aliens coming across. There were reports of increased rise of measles, chickenpox, tuberculosis back then. But they were few and far between. They were in areas that were mostly sanctuary cities, and we didn't have the massive number of sanctuary cities we have today. And this has gotten to the point where now, instead of housing illegal aliens in a detention center, they're putting them in hotels and schools. They're living on the sidewalks. We are now interacting with the children that are attending school themselves because you can't help but pass them in the hallway. And it has become a problem. And checking on the CDC website just prior to the show, I was looking and I was amazed that they don't need to show proof of vaccination. They just need to say, well, we're going to give you so much time in which to get vaccinated. And you have illegal aliens coming across the border that do not trust authority, much less law enforcement. How much do you think they are going to adhere to these recommendations? Oh, that's right. You're giving them a little warrant telling them to show up in court for their immigration hearing. Oh, about 10 years down the road.
Yep.
So this is something I've been talking about. I was talking about the large number of incarcerations of illegal aliens for crimes here in the United States against American citizens. And back then it was a large number. I shudder to think of what it is today.
Yes. And like I said, our special guest today is Ivy Lou. She is a legal immigrant to America, and she was on one of the school boards here in El Paso County as one of the school board members. So Ivy, we had kind of spoken to you a little bit off, before the show started, because we were wondering, is it a requirement that students have that immunization record like they did when we were in school? Is that something still happening?
So when I came here 5 decades ago or more, it was one of the first requirements that we had to meet. For the immunization, especially back then, they were very concerned about TB, tuberculosis, that apparently a lot of immigrants bring in from foreign countries. So that was, I remember making a big deal out of going to a medical clinic, getting that little scrape on your forearm and making sure you don't pop positive. And if you do, you immediately put on some kind of medication that, like a 6 month, 12 month long medication. It was a big deal back then. I don't know anymore, you know, whether TB is still a large concern, but I just checked the registration requirements of one of the districts here, and it says photo ID of the parent, immunization records, proof of residence, and the birth certificate. Now, those first two things alone should disallow any illegals to apply to come into the schools, but apparently, we are hearing talk by a current county commissioner in certain articles that all these kids are filtering into our schools. How are they filtering into our schools when they cannot meet at least one, but probably two of the four requirements to register your kids legally into school?
Right, that's a good question. And I know, again, we were talking a little bit off camera, I guess you could say, but before the show started, how much money do the school systems get per pupil in Colorado? Let's just say Colorado.
Well, the last time I looked, and this is before the current legislature, which just added money, I believe, I could be wrong about that, it was over $10,000 per student. It's a lot of money, $10,300 or something like that. Don't quote me on the figure, but it is over $10,000 per student. That is a lot of money.
I had been looking through some documents a few months back, and it was around that $10,000, close to $11,000 per student. And I remember saying that to someone, and they're like, no, it can't be that high. I said, yes, it is. And the thing is, I know here in our school system, it's all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. It's about the numbers and getting butts in the seats. I mean, I worked in the school system. I know what that's like. And that October 1 day rolls around, you want as many butts in the seats as you can possibly get, because every person that's in those seats on that October 1, you get paid. Whether they show up October 2 or not, you get paid. And so do you think for just 1 minute that could be part of the issue of not making sure these kids are immunized? Yeah, you know what I mean.
Immunized word. If you would ask me my personal opinion, heck yes. The school districts, at least the one I'm very involved with, is losing kids like crazy because of the quality of education, because of the failing academics, because of the indoctrination that is being brought in to the schools by the board and by the superintendent. So we've been losing kids like crazy. Actually one of the very big moves that's not evident to the outside eye is that we had 10% of kids moving from the, what they call operated schools, which is public schools, into the charter school system. And technically charter schools are also public, but they don't show that from the outside. It's like, oh, you still have about, 24,000, 25,000 kids. But what the public doesn't see is that 10% of those kids had actually moved into the charter school system, which is an indication of how badly people think about the public school system. But that's not evidence to the public. But so we're losing 10% to the charter schools, and we're losing kids, just out of the public school system going elsewhere. And on top of that, here's another percentage that is that should be noticed that is not advertised, is that we're selling, not we, I'm not a real estate agent, they are selling thousands upon thousands of homes on the east side of Colorado Springs. No, we're not seeing the equivalent addition of kids into our school district, which means the reputation of our district is such that they are going everywhere else but D49. And that is a sad state of affairs. But all of that goes back to your point, Vicky, that money is everything. They are losing money like crazy, or they're not gaining the money. And I wouldn't be surprised if they would just take these kids in. And the talk is such that these kids are being enrolled into the schools, in which case, how are they doing that without breaking some, law? And I just saw an article yesterday about Harrison, like not being strained financially because of the illegals coming in. Once again, how are they coming in without the required documentations?
Well, there's an article here that I pulled up just prior to the show from the Highland County Press by James Varney. And he's reporting that neither the Centers for Disease Control nor the Department of Homeland Security would discuss the issue. Legal immigrants are required, but they're letting all these illegals into the country. They're not vetting them criminal backgrounds. They're not vetting them for diseases. There's no testing being done whatsoever. They're being housed in public facilities such as school gymnasiums. They're commandeering hotels. And I'm sorry, isn't that going to be something that's against the Constitution of government taking property without proper compensation? There's so many issues here. You have them living as homeless on the city streets, New York, LA, San Francisco, Chicago. You can go on the streets. So they're interacting with the public and they're interacting with our children in a school setting.
Right.
You're right about October 1st. And I'm telling parents, the school year is coming up again. If you're not happy with your school, get your kid out of there. We did here in my county a massive campaign when our school district wanted to put certain things in place in the school. And this was at the start of the masking. We were fighting them on that issue and the DEI. And we put word out. Don't let your child be in school on October 1st. Pull them out and we'll give you alternatives.
And if I may make one more point, which is the heart of my passion, is that, again, I can only speak to D49. 72% of our kids on the average cannot pass math at grade level, CDE grade level. Over 55% of the kids cannot reading and writing at CDE grade level proficiency. The minority kids and low-income kids fare even worse, anywhere from 5 to 12% lower, even though they're getting a lot of funding from the state called Title I funds. How and where is all this money being spent that our minority kids that are actually extra funded are performing worse than your average population? And now take that, and now we have a dump of non-English speaking illegals. What is that going to do to our kids who are rightfully entitled to a good quality education? That is what it is really hurting my heart, and it just keeps me awake. All of this is a big mess. It was a big mess before the illegals, and with the illegals now coming in, dumping into our system, I don't know what it's going to do to our kids.
Well, Vicki, we're down to our last minute here. So let's pick this up after the break and discuss how not only just the lockdowns from COVID have put our own children behind, but how now the school resources are being redirected to handling these illegal immigrant children, and we're not being able to teach our own children anymore. Let's look at that.
Okay, we'll be right back, and hold tight. You don't want to miss the rest of the show.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com and ask at Jan Carroll for a special deal if you buy both books.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. You're here watching Vicki Tompkins, our host, who we're glad she's finally back from her ordeal in El Paso County. And I'm your co-host, Annie Ubelis. And our guest is Ivy, who was a former, were you a school board member, Ivy?
Yes.
In her county, discussing what we are facing in today's school system, dealing with illegal immigration and the effects on the children with lack of learning and the transmission of diseases that we had conquered decades ago. So
I think it's really interesting that we're talking about TB, we're talking about measles,
polio.
We're talking about pretty much eradicated here in America, and now we're seeing an uptick of that. And I don't know about you, I don't really watch the fake news, but you would think that that would be something that would be really brought to the surface. I mean, because after all, like you said, Annie, earlier, they're putting illegals in the gym, they're putting them in the hotels, they're clearing out apartment complexes in some states and telling other people to go find another place to live, to put the illegals there. And if they're not checking for all these diseases, I mean, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, seriously, this is going to spread like wildfire if mm-hmm. something is not done. And I can tell you right now, if my children were in the school system today, there's no way I would leave them there. There mm-hmm. is no way. If for no other reason, just the diseases alone. So yep. moms, I mean, this is becoming a huge, huge issue. Not just the education piece, because we are so far behind right now. But now you're putting, what is that, insult to injury, mm-hmm. you know, with these diseases that are coming back. So Ivy, when you were on the school board, was that ever a subject that you guys talked about, an uptick in diseases here just in where we live, where you and I live?
So I was on the school board through just August of 2023. The illegals was not an issue at that time. But the issue goes back to proper spending of our money, so that the money that they keep saying we don't have enough of, but at almost $11,000 per child, that is a lot of money that I continue to state, which made me very, very unpopular, that we're not spending our money in the right places. We're not spending money in education and proper education of our children and getting them to read, write, and do math. We are... 1 year alone in 2022, we spent $660,000 on a bunch of different SEL programs that at the end of 10 years of SEL programs in D49, our kids were scraping bottom academically. And they are in the worst of the superintendent himself, at the worst behavior we've ever had all this time. And so my question then is, and how are you justifying spending all this money on SEL and the restore practice and all these other programs that are costing the district so much money, when the outcome is staring at you right in the face? The lowest academics in 12 years, as of this year, we're at the lowest academic level in 12 years in D49, lowered by 20 to 25%. That is a chunk of failing of our kids that nobody's talking about. And those that do talk about it get shot at, such as myself. That part, I don't care. I'm going to keep talking about this. But here's the thing. When I say it's a broken system, it is because of the fact that we're spending all this money in place and things, not just wasteful spending, but actually spending in a curriculum that is harmful to our children. And nobody is willing to take a look and say, we got to do something else. Instead, they are shooting the messengers that are bringing up these topics. It happened while I was on the board. It continues to happen with school board, co-opted school board members who were brought in by county commissioners and lawyers and the superintendent, who wants a certain makeup on the school board so they can do whatever the hell they continue to do, that they have been doing and continue to do. And so even after I'm gone, I'm in communications with a couple of the conservatives on the board, and those kind of tactics are continuing, where they're shutting people up. Don't talk about this. Don't let the public know. Well, the public is entitled to know, because it is our tax money. And what they're doing is actually criminal. Yeah. You think about it. We are failing our kids. We are failing our kids. And on top of it, we're indoctrinating them. We are teaching them to be social justice warriors and be more concerned about equity and social justice than about learning how to do ABCs. That is criminal in my mind. And I'm fighting that. We need parents, like Annie, like you said, we need parents to all step up and fight this. But that itself has been a fight, getting the parents to fight.
I'm saying not just the parent, but every single taxpayer in the county, because that's your, as you said, your tax dollar. What happens with those kids as they graduate that school or even drop out? They are now your community, your quality of life, your property values, your tax dollars at work. So I question, what is the school board doing with that money? Are they fattening their own pockets? Are they fattening a crony buddy's pocket for some contract? Are they doing something like a malfeasance with the money and turning out kids that cannot even read or write? And I keep on telling the story. I went to the grocery store one day, and the kid was a recent high school graduate. Yeah. And I'm putting my grocery stuff on the line. And then you have that little yellow divider they put in between your order and this. They're trying to scan that item. If they cannot even do critical thinking like that, calling for a price check on the divider. If we can't even produce kids to run a cash register in a grocery store, what is our community going to be looking for? If we are allowing into our schools kids that are highly disruptive and not putting them into another special education to help bring them into a more normal society, if we are turning around and not teaching them basic social skills, if we are now turning around and allowing our federal government to open our borders and put into our school systems without our permission and want, kids that are well below the grade standard are bringing in diseases that we have seen eradicated. The last hospital that was closed for leprosy in 1999 was in Louisiana. We now have outbreaks of leprosies throughout the South and California and traveling up the Eastern Seaboard. We're seeing the rise of polio. We eradicated polio decades ago. Rubella, measles, chickenpox, tuberculosis. And in these crowded conditions, the more crowded it is, the more people are going to come down with tuberculosis. And it's That's going right. to spread to our children who are going to the very same schools that these illegal immigrants are housed in, who are walking down the same sidewalks that these illegal immigrants are living homeless on the curbs, are passing by the hotels that we used to have the hoity-toity, but now have illegal immigrants who couldn't care about our social mores, our American values. Right. And we're turning around and telling them, until you apply for your legal residency, you don't need to show proof of vaccination. Mm-hmm. So how many of these illegals now go into the fabric of our society, into our nation, never apply for citizenship, never have to apply for the rules?
Exactly. And like I said earlier, we're adding insult to injury because now we have all the terrible stuff that's happening in the school, like Ivy was talking about. Our kids are not learning reading, writing, and arithmetic like we were taught to learn. They're learning all this social stuff that is so irrelevant to education. And then you're adding all these diseases that we had eradicated from America now popping itself up again. And so when I was reading this article from Michael Dorgan was the person who wrote the article, and he was Dr. Jeanette Nashua, a New York-based double board certified doctor, says the outbreaks at the Chicago migrant shelters were easily foreseen. And she said, to be honest, I'm not surprised. We have open borders with all sorts of people coming in from countries from all over the world, which do not have the same standards we have, of course, bringing in various illnesses, viruses, disease, and bacterial infections. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that we've tried to get rid of. And I even say the WHO is probably all a part of this too. But anyway, we're piling on top of our kids the mess that we're allowing in our country.
Right.
And like you were saying, when you have a kid who just graduated from high school trying to scan the bar that separates the food from one customer to another and calling for a price check, my goodness, where is the critical thinking? Where is the realization and the understanding that this is causing a major, major problem in America?
Well, it is a major problem for us as Americans. I believe it is a definitive, well-executed plan to dumb down our children, because America stands between freedom and the rest of the communist world. And so if you dumb down your significant portion of your children, of your young people, and that's when the communists can come in and take over our country. That is part of that plan. And I've been studying Marxism and communism in these last couple of years, and they are exactly executing their playbook in the schools. And I don't know if you recall, back in November 2022, when I made a comparison about what Nazi did, Hitler did to their children, which is equivalent to what Mao Zedong did in communist China with their young people, and Stalin, every dictator, they targeted the children so they can turn out generations. And now in America, it is generations of indoctrinated, They have drunk the Kool-Aid. They don't know their country, what the country's about. They hate their country. What is going on right now? Everything we're talking about is just all part of the plan to weaken our system, to weaken our education system to start with, so that we have Russia or whoever can come in and just take us over. And we have, some of the Americans are practically handing America over to them on a silver platter without arguing, without fighting. And that makes me very angry, because my dad gave up everything to bring our, his family to America 5-6 decades ago. And now we're losing it. I am seeing it going right back to the way Mao Zedong took over China. And why people are not concerned, why they're not out there fighting and arguing and screaming, I don't understand.
Well, I could tell you right now, here in El Paso County, Ivy is a hero for many of us, because she has forged a fight that has finally gotten the attention of so many, and more people are getting engaged, more people are becoming aware here in El Paso County. Now, we're just one county. We may be the largest county in the state, but we're still only one county. And like Ivy was saying, we do have people just standing by. And I know when I was in school, my mom and dad, they looked at my report card. Now, they didn't have a college education or anything, but they knew what we were supposed to be doing in school. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. And so we have a section, not all, but we have a section of parents who have abdicated their responsibility and given it over to the schools and said, oh, I don't have them for 8 hours. You take care of them. Exactly. Well, they're not taking care of them like those parents really want in their home. I just want to thank you, Ivy, for the continued fight.
Yes, yes. I thank Ivy very much. But Vicki, remember, I've always said, all politics starts at home. You don't have to have your kids in the school system, yes, to speak out. You're the taxpayer. So be responsible, and also go to ashbrook.org/constitution. Get your constitution, get your rights. So Vicki and I will be back next week. And thank you, Ivy, for joining us.
Thank you.
We say good night and God bless from Moms Across America.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. That's dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening.